Brethren, there's a famous song. I'm sure many of you have heard it. This was written well before my time, but I remember hearing it when I was a kid. And the name of that song is Cats in the Cradle. Now, it was sung from the point of view of a father who chases after things his entire life, and he neglects spending time with his son. And the whole time, the son is trying to get the father to spend time with him, and the father keeps saying, "I'm sorry, I'm too busy." And then the chorus goes, how the kid wants to grow up to be just like his dad. Now, when he gets old and, you know, retires and now has time to spend, he's looking forward to spending time with his son. But now his son is too busy and often doing things. You know, it's a sad reminder, and a good one, about looking at things in life that truly matter. Now, when we are born, we come into this world having absolutely nothing. And we go through life collecting things. But at the very end of life, we have nothing. We end up leaving our things behind for others. So what matters? And we get stressed out about things like money, cars, things in life, collecting things. But to what purpose? You know, we may have stressful jobs or situations in our lives, but again, for what purpose? You know, the older I get, the more I realize that in this life there's nothing that is worth more than God's way. And it's something that we heard loud and clear in the messages from this morning. I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We'll read to verse 8, Ecclesiastes 1. Actually, we could start in verse 2. It says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanities of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers comes, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." You know, it's hard to stay satisfied. We all want something in our lives. Yet I think it's important that we should all take the time to realize that the things in this life are just fleeting and vain. If we could realize that, maybe we could find peace. But it's easy to forget these things going through life. You know, seeking after worldly gains is only one pitfall. In verse 17 and 18 of Ecclesiastes 1, it says, "And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." You know, seeking after worldly wisdom will also drive you crazy. We can't rely on just man alone. The best knowledge comes from God. You know, the kings of Israel of old were instructed to write out a copy of the law for themselves so that they could keep it in remembrance. God commanded this. You know, it wasn't an easy task to write out the law. It was long. It was a lot of work. But it showed that the commitment that the king was to have to learning about and keeping in remembrance God's laws. You know, when we are not close to God on a consistent basis, we can easily lose our way. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it states, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you." You see, it takes seeking. It takes much seeking. Feelings of being lost, empty, frustrated, anything like this, they come from not seeking God properly. You know, God is not hidden or far off. He is waiting on each of us to come to the point in our lives where we get tired of banging our heads against the wall. Tired enough to come to the point where we truly seek after him. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained from the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." In verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know those things which have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." It comes down to our willingness to seek after God. It takes mighty effort in doing this, in staying close to God, to not get caught up in this world. But it's a very, very fine balance. And we are told that we are made in the likeness and the similitude of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You can find this in the book of Genesis and in James. But it's interesting to note that even though man was created in the similitude of God, he was given free choice. he's able to choose between obeying God and doing what he wants to do. And the outcome in this world is obvious. Brethren, our calling is amazing. When we step back and look at God's plan and how he's implementing it, it's like looking at a beautiful sunset or a majestic setting. It's inspiring. Psalm 8 and verse 4 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him?" And yet in verse 6 it says, "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Brethren, we really are nothing, though we like to think we are at times. The truth is, in our vast universe, our little world that's spinning around, and the things that we do here on this earth, they're incredible. When you think about what God is trying to offer us, but it's just that, an offer. It's one that we have to decide to take him up on. And we are here today because we have chosen to answer God's calling. But it's not over yet. It's still ongoing. And so with all this in mind, we are commanded today to take up an offering, to give back to God just a little bit, or maybe a lot, back to him. Everything is his, and yet he shares with us, including the opportunity to become God beings.